Hebrews 11, verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, of David and Samuel, the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign enemies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. There's a lot in that passage that we could focus on here. But one of the things that I want us to look at is who do we esteem in this life? In other words, who do we look up to? Who do we admire? Who do we give importance to? Everybody's talking about whoever they're being discipled by. It could be a book, could be a friend, could be a neighbor, could be a coworker, it could be a podcast, it could be someone in Europe, it could be with the internet, it could be someone in California. But somebody is mentoring someone else, because those people look up to them. They give an ear to what they are saying. They give importance to that person or the things that they say in their life. And if they're local, they actually like being around that person because they admire them. So let's just take a pause here and just think to ourselves just a little bit. Who in my life, who in life do I esteem? And try to be honest with yourself. Think about the books you read, the magazines you read, the podcasts, the blogs, the internet, places you go. Who is it that you give honor to by giving an ear to what they say and trying to incorporate things that they say into your life? It might be interesting to note that for believers, the people that we esteem are not the people the world esteems. And the people that we esteem, people that the world esteems, are not the people that we esteem. Who are these people that we should give esteem to? Well, the Bible helps us with that. When in verse 38, there's a little parenthesis there. When it says, men of whom the world was not what? Was not worthy. Here are people listed in this chapter of whom the world did not give esteem to. these men in this life, these were men of whom the world was not worthy to consider. Here's a second thing about these people. Look in verse 39. All these, having gained what? Approval. Everybody see that? Here are men that the world considers unworthy, but they are considered worthy by God, and they have actually gained approval by God. And their approval came because, look at verse 39 again, all these having gained approval through their faith. Everybody see that? In other words, brethren, the people that we ought to be giving our esteem to are people of faith. People of faith. Now, who in this chapter is lifted up as people of faith? Well, look at verse 4. You got Abel. By faith, Abel did something. Is he worthy to be esteemed? You've got Enoch. Verse 5. You've got Noah. Verse 7. You've got Abraham. Verse 8. You've got Sarah. Verse 11. You've got Abraham, verse 17. You've got Jacob, Isaac, and Joseph, verses 20 and following. You have Moses. You have even after Moses, look at this. Look at verse 31. You have Rahab the what? The harlot. And he says, I could keep listing people who have been approved by their faith, of whom the world is not worthy. And then he talks about verse 32. Here's some more. Gideon, Barak, Samson. Would you have picked Samson?
No.
Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, the prophets. And he quit listing names and he just started listing activities that people had done because their faith was in the Word of God. Now, folks, when we are esteeming people and we are counting them worthy, we are esteeming them and counting them worthy because of their faith. Now, follow me. Did David have any faults? Did Samson have any faults? Did Gideon have any faults? How about Rahab? I mean, she lied. Did she not? She had faults. Did Abraham have faults? Bible calls him an evil man. Did Moses have any faults? I'm sure Abel, in his short notice in the Bible, he had faults too. In other words, folks, when we're esteeming people and we're esteeming them for their faith, we're not always esteeming them for everything they've done. Right? If you think about David and you think about him being a man of faith, was he a man of faith? He was. Now, I could major in David's life on all the good things he's done by faith. Or I could major by looking at all of his faults. If I look at his faults, then I condemn him. And the reason why you condemn him is because he's condemnable. Adultery is condemnable. Yes? Murder is condemnable. Those are condemnable actions. But if you look at David's life, what do you see? Look at it as a whole, what do you see? You see a man after God's own heart, right? In other words, folks, people that we esteem have clay feet. Sometimes they have clay legs, too. I have found in listening to blogs, reading blogs, listening to people on the internet, talking to people, listening to conversations, that people today have a tendency when they consider someone, they either consider them perfectly righteous or perfectly condemnable. There's kind of no in between. If they like somebody, then they overlook all that. If they don't like somebody, then they sometimes can make a mountain out of a molehill. That happens sometimes in families. I know, speaking for my own children, things that they have told me later on in life, that they looked at the lifestyle and they looked at, you know, maybe not having enough of this or enough of that, or they didn't have this when they were small, or they didn't like that decision. And all those things begin to grow in their minds to where no longer are the parents considered worthy because of their faith. They're condemnable because we have found things in their life that we don't like. And folks, we need to be careful about that. That doesn't mean you don't justify David's murder. Did God justify it? No. He didn't justify his adultery. Did he pay for that? He certainly did. But are there not things in David's life that you and I want to emulate? There are. Folks, these people are worthy and gained approval with God because they believe what God said to them and they acted on it. Even as bad as a man, I would say this, as Samson, in his final days, his final moments of life, did he pay for all of his iniquity? He suffered wrong for the wrong that he had done. But in his final act, he believed God. And he called out to God, God, take me home. But in that act, you gave me the strength to defeat your enemies. And he grabs those pillars. And the whole house falls. He was acting on what God had spoken to him. And folks, we too are to act on what God has spoken to us. We don't hear God audibly. We don't get impressions. We don't go by our feelings. We don't go by the little voices that are in our heads. But do we not have a Bible full of God's words? We do. And the people that we ought to count worthy, the people that we ought to esteem, are people who are trying, by the grace of God, to obey those words. And to follow those words. And to act on those words. And when we see that, in spite of all their clay feet and legs and maybe waist and chest, in spite of all of that, we look at that aspect of faith, and that's what we want to emulate, and that's what we honor them and esteem them for. Does the Bible hold this up to us? It does. You're here in Hebrews 11. Just go over to the last chapter of this book. We have two passages, verses 7 and verse 17, that speak about the leaders and rulers and authorities that were in that congregation's life. Verse 7 is referring to former leaders. Verse 17 is referring to present leaders. But what I'm interested in is in verse 7 as this truth. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. Considering the result of their conduct, imitate their what? Faith. Everybody see that? So here what they had is they had former leaders and authorities who were over the congregations. They spoke the word of God to them. And they listened to that word. And what they wanted to see is how's that word working out in the life of that authority. And then when we see that faith in action, that's what we esteem them for. We don't necessarily esteem them for all the clay that they have all over themselves, right? We don't look away. It's there. But that's what makes the exceeding treasure being seen more precious. This treasure in earthen vessels that when it is seen in our life, we know this is the Lord. Amen? This is the Lord. And folks, when it comes to pastoring, that is how a pastor has to look at the congregation. We have all varying types of maturities in our church, do we not? Would you agree with me that you have weaknesses? Would you agree with me that you have the issues of clay clinging onto you? The answer to that is what?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. All right? Now, I could major in my life, I could major on all the clay. Clay, look, clay. Can't believe the clay. Or, what could I look for? Faith being lived out. Everybody hear that? Those are the people that we are to esteem. And folks, these people, as we go back to Hebrews 11, these people express faith in two different ways. One way was that faith delivered them. And the other way is their faith caused them to endure something. Now, when we think about men and women of faith, we love the great prosperous stories. In other words, we just had a situation that we prayed for. We weren't the only ones. Probably thousands of people in America prayed for a young man who was close to death, and the Lord what? The Lord seemingly raised him up. He's at home. Still has a road ahead of him. Still has issues, but moving around. Don't you love those stories? That's delivering faith. And we see that here in our passage when it talks about verse 33, who by faith conquered kingdoms. That's a great type of faith, isn't it? Think of David doing all those battles, winning all those battles by seeking the Lord, and the Lord saying, go this way, do this way, Thummim, right? Great battle. He acted on all that. Lord gave him victory. Conquered kingdoms. Performed acts of righteousness. Obtained promises. Shut the mouths of lions. Don't you love Daniel in the lion's den? What do you say, if I only had that type of faith. Well, it's not that type of faith. It's faith. People say, man, that'd be great if that happened in my life. Personally, I'm glad Daniel experienced that. Right? You hear these songs, be a Daniel. Well, there's a lot of aspects about Daniel I would love to have, but I'll just skip that one. Okay? But did the Lord deliver him? He did deliver him. Verse 34, quench the power of fire. Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's a great story, isn't it? Or escape the edge of the sword. That happened to David. How many times did Saul have him right there in his grasp? David escaped. That's one way that Saul knew that this was a futile fight, because the Lord was with him. Or this. Have you experienced this? Out of weakness was made strong. That may be referring to Samson. Became mighty in war. Put foreign armies to flight. Verse 35, women receiving their dead by resurrection. Wow! That's something, isn't it? I take that to mean maybe their sons or daughters got killed or whatever, and the Lord brought them back to what? You say, wow, that person, that's great faith. Now, folks, it's easy for us to esteem those types of people. You agree with that?
Yeah.
You say, I want to be a Daniel. You know, I want to be David. I want to have my, you know, go out and fight Goliath. You know, we love those stories. We love those biographies. We have missionary biographies. Think of John Payton. You know, he's on New Guinea Island. He's there 5 or 6 years, no converts. All of a sudden, like, the whole island comes to Christ. You know, you say, I dream about things like that. That's delivering faith. But folks, the bottom line of it is, it was by faith. But faith has another aspect to it. The same faith that David had, the same faith Samson had, the same faith Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. It has another facet to it. And this is the facet that you and I don't like to recognize, but it is true. And that is the faith to endure. The faith to endure. And we see that here. Look at this. Verse 35. What do you think about this? Do you think others were tortured, not accepting their release, so they might obtain a better resurrection? Folks, what do you think about the person who isn't delivered? What do you think about the person who, you know, they get offered deliverance, but then they turn it down? And at the end of the day, they're killed. Or what do you think about this? Verse 36. Others experience mockings and scourgings. Did that happen to the prophets? You think about Jeremiah? Do you admire that man? I do. Did he have feet of clay? Certainly did. He wanted to quit. People were whipped. People were chained, put in prison. Think about Adoniram Judson. I read that biography and my heart just weeps. Hung upside down, his feet up in the air, his shoulders on the ground, can't move his arms. You're just there for all the rats and the varmints and insects and bugs. And Folks, those are the people that we admire. Not everything about them. Their faith. Everybody follow me. Their faith. I am sure that Ananias and Judson sinned before the Lord. You just think about that happening to you. Think about a mother watching her child die from a lack of nourishment, breast milk. That'd be hard, wouldn't it? But look at that woman's faith. They were stoned, verse 37. They were sawn in two, probably referring to Isaiah, who was put in a log and sawn asunder, not this way, but vertically. They were put to death with the sword. Think about Paul. But folks, think about this. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being what? Folks, is that the kind of people the world admires?
No.
But these are the type of people of whom the world is not worthy to have in its existence. They're not going to make posters of them. They're not going to blow up big things of their faces. If you've been watching any of the NCAA basketball and the coaches that are there and the players, you know, they're not going to be having their faces on a stick waving it up and down. Destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Look at verse 38. No home. Wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Can the Lord bring you to that place? Could you not find something in their life to say, well, you know, they did this or they did that. Could we not find fault? Sure. But we're not looking for the faults. We're looking for the faith. Because they were doing this because they were believers. And the world persecuted them for that. Folks, I want to encourage you, every one of us here, to not just accept everything about any preacher, fellow Christian, blogger, whoever. Not to accept everything that they write or say or do or point out. But look to see if they're with and standing with the Word of God. And if they are, appreciate that aspect of them. One of the things that I have done in my life ever since the day I got saved is that I always look for someone who was more mature in the Scriptures than I was. And I, as it were, listened and followed them when they were following the Scripture. And through the years, I've changed different people because they challenged me. Their faith challenged me because they were worthy people. Perfect people? Could I find something in their life to criticize? Sure. But their faith was something that I should emulate. Now, folks, we have in our Bible a person who is sanctioned by God to be someone that we should highly esteem. This man said, follow me as I follow Christ. Who was that?
Paul.
Was he a sinner? Was he perfect? Nope. But he said, look at my attitude. Look at my desires. Look at my longings. Look at what I've set aside. Look at how I value Christ. Look at all that. Esteem that. Follow that. And you will be following Christ. These are people of whom the world is not worthy. Folks, don't fall in the trap of following the world's patterns of who they think are successful. Let's go to our Lord.